Hi there, and welcome to the Natural Beauty Podcast. In this podcast, we explore everything related to natural beauty. With guests from the heart of the natural cosmetics industry, we engage in important discussions about the state of the sector. Together, we share insights and exclusive behind-the-scenes stories. I am Satu Mäkinen, founder of the European Natural Beauty Awards, and I will be your host as we dive into these topics. Make sure you click the subscribe or follow button so you won't miss the coming episodes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Natural Beauty Podcast. Today, I will be talking with Nina Höfler-Kluger, the editor-in-chief at the beautynews.dk newsletter website, as well as social media channels. Nina has experience of more than 20 years being a chief editor in the beauty industry, and she has a broad knowledge of beauty products, beauty trends, and the industry in general. Nina was also one of the original founders of the Danish Beauty Award, so believe me when I say, as the founder of the European Natural Beauty Awards, that we have a very interesting chat ahead of us today. Before we continue with the episode, I'd like to share a couple of words about the sponsor of this episode. This episode is brought to you by Evonik Service Solutions, your trusted partner for crafting high-quality and safe natural cosmetic products. With decades of expertise in formulating skin and hair cosmetics, Evonik's experts possess deep insights into the beauty industry and the latest trends, ready to transform your cosmetic product idea into reality. Whether you are a startup or an established brand, Evonik collaborates with you to develop beauty products with elegant textures and sustainability ingredients, as well as regulatory compliance. Evonik's comprehensive process includes carefully selecting raw materials, designing formulations, and creating active ingredient concepts. They also handle prototype testing for stability, claims, and safety, support technology transfer from lab to production, and manage registration, regulatory issues, and sustainability considerations. Evonik's mission is to assist you in scaling your business by turning your idea into a cosmetic product that meets your needs and exceeds your expectations. Evonik Service Solutions will bring your cosmetic product idea to life. Next, let's jump to today's episode. Welcome to the Natural Beauty Podcast, Nina.
Thank you, Satu. I'm looking forward to it.
Very, very happy that you could make the time and join me in the studio today. Perhaps we could start first with you and your background, if you would like to share a little bit about yourself, who you are, and your background to those listeners that don't know you yet.
Yes, of course. My name is Nina Kluge, and I'm from Denmark. Since 2003, that's 21 years ago, I've been the publisher of the Danish cosmetics trade magazine called Cosmetik. My work as editor of a beauty magazine has given me a large network and a lot of professional contacts in the Danish beauty industry. Mm. As per January the 1st last year, the printed magazine closed and is now a 100% online magazine. The new online universe is called beautynews.dk. It is a news website and a digital newsletter. Furthermore, it is present on social media. Beautynews.dk is for everyone who's interested in lifestyle and beauty, and it keeps you posted on news from the beauty industry, on beauty trends, editorials, my own editor's blog, and we have the suppliers register, which is a register that gives an overview of the Danish beauty industry's suppliers. The readers of the newsletter, Beauty News, are professionals from the Danish beauty industry, such as retailers, estheticians, hairdressers, suppliers, manufacturers, and of course, all the beauty fans who just want to keep up to date with the beauty world. The Beauty News social media interact with the website, and as a micro-influencer, I share my knowledge about the beauty world. So that's what I do nowadays.
Absolutely. And you have been there since the beginning of the media as well.
I wasn't there from the beginning of the media. The media started in 1978.
Ola, that's a long time ago.
But after 45 years, it closed last year. So I've been there for about half the time.
Okay, that is still a very long time in the the industry for sure. How has it been, the industry changes? I'm sure we can go very deep into that also later, but I'm sure there's been many changes of the industry that has also influenced on what you publish on the magazine as well.
Yes, of course, for so many years, there's been a lot of changes in the industry, both in the beauty industry and the media industry. I think the last 5 to 8 years, we have seen a lot of changes, mostly due to the new influencers. That means a lot to the industry, how they market their products, and influencing is very big and has changed the marketing. And of course, the industry keeps up with new knowledge, and when we see products 20 years, 30 years ago, it's quite different products from what we see now. So there's been a huge evaluation.
Absolutely. And that is a very good point, that the media landscape has also changed, because of course the 5 to 10 years, the social media and all the new outlets, I mean, they just keep coming. So you kind of also have to stay updated what's going on and where people read their news or watch their news, or whichever is the way nowadays.
Exactly.
Perhaps then we could talk about something quite interesting, the fact that you were co-founder of the Danish Beauty Awards, because we do, I mean, I'm also a founder of the European Natural Beauty Awards. So how did it all start? And this is also roughly similar timeline, quite a while ago already when you started, but how did it all start with the awards?
Yes, the Beauty Awards is a very interesting area. So do you think, I know. This is this year is the 18th time for the Danish Beauty Awards. So about 19 years ago, I and Anne-Dorte Mathiesen put our heads together and decided to make a national beauty award. Anne-Dorte was at that time employed in the Danish Beauty Industry Association, and I was the owner of the Danish Beauty Industry magazine. And we thought that Denmark needed an independent and national beauty award, so we went ahead with all our ideas for an award. The reason why we would make an award at that time was that we wanted to make some positive hype about the industry's products. Too often, we only heard about the products in the public when the products were criticized. Could be a negative focus on hair color or mascara or on some ingredients. And we wanted to emphasize and publish all the good things about beauty and personal care products. We wanted to help the suppliers to draw attention to their products out in the stores. It has a huge effect when there's a shelf sign showing that this product is a winner or even a nominee. We know it ourselves from, you know, the Oscars, when a film is nominated or a winner in one or more categories, we think, I must see that film. So we went on and we thought big and were inspired by the Oscars, in fact. We outlined a lot of categories. Each category should have 5 nominees, and the winners should be revealed at an award show. And the show should be a big gala evening with red carpet and press photographers and entertaining hosts and a big party. And so it went. And the first 3 years, we made almost everything ourselves. But then it became bigger and bigger, and we got a professional event company to help us with the event. And now it's quite big.
Yeah, there a lot of things have changed also within your awards, or should I say not necessarily your awards anymore, but the Danish Beauty Awards. So everything started handmade, but with big dreams, and it grew to be that.
Yeah.
How is the judging process, or how was the judging process? I assume many awards have quite similar processes of testing the cosmetics and all that, but was there something specific you wanted to be careful about, or so?
The judging process in the Danish Beauty Awards is a rather complicated plan. It is a combination of each judges personal testing and evaluation of the products, and a very important roundtable talk in the jury. Every single product is tested and evaluated over and over again. The judges complete a detailed form where they evaluate the products based on various things, such as it could be skin feel, scent impression, ease of use, efficacy, innovation, bestseller potential, etc. And the whole jury meets several times and discuss the evaluations. And when they are ready, the Danish Beauty Award present the 5 nominees in each category. And I must say, when I say products, I must add, it also means treatments, spas, personalities. We have a lot of categories. And that's how we work in the jury.
Nowadays, there are so many different awards. I mean, they've been popping like mushrooms in the rain, as we say in Finland. What are your thoughts about this, that there are so many different kinds of awards? I don't know if it was the same case 18 years ago, or things have changed regarding this.
Yes, nowadays there are a lot of awards, and that's fine. Many magazines, retailers, influencers, etc. have their own awards. That is a guideline for the readers and their customers and followers. But I think a national independent award like the Danish Beauty Award is one step higher. It is for everyone and it has no commercial corporations. It's an objective and it's meant as a guideline for all consumers when professional judges have tested and recommended some products.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that because I founded the European Natural Beauty Awards, which were, of course, with the name Nordic Natural Beauty Awards 5 years ago. And there were tons of different kinds of awards already back then. So I never wanted to bring another awards competition alive in that sense, already from the point of view that many of those existed, of course.
Exactly.
So from the very beginning, I went with the natural point of view as the focus of the event. When it comes to the Natural Beauty Awards, instead of competing against each other, the purpose of the awards actually has been all about supporting each other. We have lifted the stories of the often smaller natural brands, whether it's on our social media and nowadays, of course, a little bit more live as well. Today, it has, of course, grown to a little bit bigger dimensions, a meeting place for the industry. And for example, when it comes to the judging process, we do have also other important parts of it, such as we do have retailers on board the industry expert jury. So it is another way for the often smaller brands to get their products into retailers' hands as well, get themselves known within the industry in a way, very different way that it was possible before. So there are a lot of different dimensions to these awards that I really wanted to bring out. And we've been creating more and more as a team, not to organize an awards competition, but create rather a platform and space where the true natural cosmetics brands can flourish. You know, I feel we have a couple of common points here because one thing that was really important for me too was that the awards would be independent and not biased.
Yes.
And that's the reason why the star jury was created, for example. And overall, this is one important key thing within the awards still today. I think also that everyone who is looking for greener alternatives within the cosmetics, they deserve us to do this way as well. So yeah. Another thing that came to my mind as well is that so lately, there has been so much this fear-mongering about different toxic ingredients within mainly the synthetic cosmetics world, often rightly so, though, as well. But instead, what I wanted to create was something that would celebrate the incredible natural ingredients out there and the growing number of excellent products being made. So I wanted to really put the focus back on nature, you could say back on nature perhaps, and all the good things being made there. So I definitely understand your point about wanting to create something of a good feel in this world that is often lifting only the negatives.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, if we talk more about the cosmetics market in Denmark then, since you have been following it for quite a while and know a lot about it, what are the most important organizations or perhaps key players when it comes to the cosmetics market in Denmark? I personally know this is an interesting topic for those listeners who are looking forward to entering the Danish market with their brand. So I'm very excited to hear.
In Denmark, we have a trade organization in the beauty industry called Kosmetik and Hygiejnebranchen. They take care of the industry's interests in general. They participate in political discussions and forums, and they give advice on legislation. And they are also part of the two big European trade organizations, you know, Cosmetics Europe and AISE. And of course, I will also mention my own beautynews.dk, where there is the suppliers register, where you can seek and find some of the most important suppliers and distributors to the Danish cosmetics market. And don't hesitate to follow me and or Beauty News on web and social media, and of course the newsletter. As to the Danish retail market, maybe you know, but it is dominated by the Matas chain. Matas is a big retail chain. It has about 260 stores in Denmark, and that's many in a small market like the Danish. They have an online web shop and a huge customer club, so they dominate the market very much. As for natural products, we have the Helsam chain, which is both retail shops and wholesale of natural and organic beauty products. We also have a number of other natural retailers and a chain called Helsemin. Furthermore, we have department stores. Magasin is the biggest, with 7 department stores widely placed in all of Denmark. Furthermore, we have Salling in Aarhus and in Aalborg. And last but not least, we have Ilum in Copenhagen, which is the most luxurious beauty shopping destination. Further retail beauty shops count Sephora. I think they have 7 stores now. And of course, we have perfumeries. So that's the Danish market landscape.
Mm. Like you already mentioned, that there are natural chains and natural shops kind of separately. But how is the landscape from natural cosmetics point of view, in a way that can you find natural cosmetics also in overall department stores or web shops? Or have they already added these kind of products into their portfolios, or is that still in the future?
Yes. In fact, I don't think there's so much difference in natural products and conventional products. You can find them all in the stores and on the web shops.
Yeah, this is something that is so different in each country. That's why I was interested to know if there's a specific way. So in Denmark, you can find natural products kind of everywhere, which means you're one of the pioneers in that sense.
Yes.
What about the consumers then? What are Danish consumers looking for when it comes to beauty products?
As to my knowledge, the Danish consumers are very educated when it comes to beauty products. They often research before they go shopping. They know what they want when they go shopping. However, they are also very price focused and are often shopping for discounts. But the Danish consumer is a very conscious consumer. They worry about the environment, sustainability and recycling, upcycling, you know. They take choices about packaging. They take choices about transportation load, ingredients, safety. They prefer transparency when it comes to manufacturing. The beauty products they choose are often natural and organic, but efficacy and wellness are so important that if they are not there, they won't go choosing natural and organic just because they are natural and organic. So they have to have it all.
Makes total sense. I mean, there are all kinds of natural products. And of course, the natural industry has also changed a lot lately. But great to hear. What about the trends that you see in the Danish beauty market specifically, perhaps followed by the interest from the consumers?
Yes, I see a lot of trends in the Danish market.
Amazing. I'm happy to hear all of them.
Well, for one thing, we say health is the new beauty. You know, a healthy body is a beautiful body. And we also say you can eat your way to beauty. So your plate is the place where you really can make an effort for your health and beauty, for skin and hair and nails, microbiome. And what we eat is very important. And we have focus on that. Because we actually eat more and more plant-based, we may have to use supplements. And supplements are a big area in the beauty industry as well. We supply with omega-3 supplements and collagen supplements, etc. Especially collagen, it's a superfood, we say now, and we have to eat collagen. But if we don't eat that much meat, we don't get enough collagen, and then we have to supply with, you know, powders or pills and drinks. So we support our body and our skin. Collagen is very important for the skin and for anti-aging in general. So that's a healthy way of seeing beauty. Another trend is emotional well-being.
This is interesting.
Yes, we talk about the mind-body connection. Mental well-being and physical appearance are interconnected. We hear words like psychodermatology, which is the relationship between psychological well-being and skin health. And we talk about neurocosmetics, which focuses on the mind-skin connection and how important it is to touch the skin and to treat the skin. And when we're not feeling well mentally, it also shows in the skin. So there is a connection. And we see products coming, relaxing us, de-stressing us, making us more happy. Maybe a fragrance in a product can make us more happy and have an effect on our skin and mind. So that's an interesting connection.
Absolutely. Trending also elsewhere with whether it's aromatherapy or so. But yeah, I've come across with these terms. Very, very interesting trend. Any other things that you have in mind?
Yes. Probiotics for the microbiome is a big thing. We care about our microbiome. We take care of it orally and topically. All these bacteria, viruses, and fungi from substances that put us in a good mood and prevent diabetes and slow down allergies and reduce inflammation, they also have a good effect on the skin. And we talk about the gut-skin axis. We see more beauty products claiming doing good for the skin microbiome. And lactic acid bacteria and fermented ingredients are important in the skincare. And it goes both ways. It goes from the inside out and from the outside in. And when I say probiotics, we also mean pro, but also pre- and postbiotic ingredients. And we see more and more coming.
Absolutely. This is a big trend and a topic also in my native Finland, microbiome and all this. So, I mean, worldwide, really.
Yes.
You start to see this news. Very interesting trend, so to say.
Another trend is fermentation. Fermentation has been commonly used for food all over the world for thousands of years. Today, we also see fermented skincare inspired by the Asian food culture. Fermentation is a natural preservation method with a controlled fermentation process for a substance in an acid-poor environment with a low pH value. In this acidic environment, substances we know from our skincare are released. It's good bacteria, antioxidants, lactic acid, peptides, aminosides, and so on. During fermentation, the substances are split into smaller molecules, which make the products easier to absorb into the skin. So it balances the skin's pH value and it is anti-inflammatory. So we see more and more fermentation in skincare products. Also, another trend is CBD and hemp. They are here to stay. We see it as ingredients in the skincare products and in nutritional supplements. The last couple of years, a lot of work has been done to regulate and legislate around production and ingredients and marketing of CBD products. The problem is the cannabis plant first found its way into skincare under the less controversial name hemp. It is recognized for its rich content of omega fatty acids. The problem is the CBD plant is known for euphoric ability.
Mm.
But that is due to the substance called THC. But in cosmetic context, it is another substance that is used, namely the cannabinoid called CBD, which is not psychoactive. But it has a number of health benefits. You know, it can relieve pain and anxiety and stress and so on, but the skin can also benefit from this substance. CBD is claimed to have anti-inflammatory effect thanks to the content of omega-3 fatty acids. So it is good for the skin.
Mm, that's nice that you shared also this point about this ingredient that it is not psychoactive, the part that is often used in skincare, so that, and especially places like European Union is very strict with the percentages as well and everything. So.
Yes, and then I think some trending ingredients now is, we have talked about it a bit, but the collagen inside out. We eat and drink collagen in supplements and functional food, but just as important, we need to use topical products with collagen so we build up the skin, and we do it inside out. We take it from the inside and we put it on the outside so we get our skin stronger. Another big ingredient right now, I think, is vitamin C. It's not new at all, but we see so many serums right now with vitamin C. It has a lot of good things for the skin. It stimulates the collagen production and it reduces discoloration and dark spots and protects against free radicals. So there's a lot of good things with vitamin C. We also see now a lot of mushroom extracts, mushrooms and fungi. They have both antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, which can improve fine lines and wrinkles and even the skin tones and so on. And finally, I think we see more and more algae, you know, both microalgae and microalgae ingredients. Another trend is, and we have talked a little about it, the conscious beauty trend. We choose our beauty products from considerations about, you know, sustainability and climate friendliness and social responsibility and so on. We choose brands who make conscious choices about zero waste production, reusable packaging, environment and ocean friendly ingredients. We see refill and weight reduced products that are easy to transport, or even better, locally grown ingredients and local manufacturing. So that is conscious production and the consumers go for it.
Mm.
And that is a little about the next trend I have, I call trust and transparency. That is the engaged consumer. They expect transparency from the brands. They want to know everything about the product, including raw materials, harvesting methods, manufacturing, production, distribution, retail, details, etc. We call these engaged consumers the skintellectuals.
Mm.
They know what they want and they go for it. And like I said before, they prepare their buying. they want to know everything about the brand and the manufacturer. They have an opinion about the manufacturer's values, and they want to trust their stories or their story, but they don't want greenwashing and unrealistic claims. They want to trust the manufacturer. So that's trust and transparency. That's very important nowadays.
The consumers want the truth. They're asking for more than perhaps before. Is this something that you've seen with the past 20 years? Has that changed? I mean, have you seen that change? Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think how many years, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, we didn't see it that much. It has come the past 5 to 8 years, I think, that the consumers are very engaged, but the manufacturers and the companies, they know they have to deliver on this. They use storytelling, but they have to be true, and they have to be honest, and they have to not hide anything. That has come these past years, yes.
Definitely, that doesn't go far anymore. You need to know what you're making and share everything transparently.
And
all that, absolutely. Well, this is perhaps a good bridge also to talk a little bit about the Danish market when it comes to natural cosmetics. How is the scene, and which kind of Danish brands do you see? For example, do you see a big amount of Danish brands in the market itself, or how is it?
Yes, I think we have a lot of local Danish natural cosmetic brands. I think that almost all new local brands launching in Denmark are green and natural, often based on local ingredients, and that makes sense as it reduces transportation and etc. Internationally seen, the Danish market is a small market, I know, but I think we have a broad spectrum of brands, both non-domestic and local brands, but there's always space for a new brand with a good story and a clean conscience. The Danish market is open for news, but I think almost everything that is launched nowadays is natural and maybe organic.
I mean, the average consumer is looking for something more. So of course, whoever is coming up with new brand idea or everything needs to take this into consideration when preparing the products and coming up with everything. So makes total sense. I have been following quite a bit, of course, the Danish market from the natural cosmetics brands point of view. Meanwhile, organizing the Nordic Natural Beauty Awards since Denmark was also part of it. But of course, since you're locally around in Denmark and have been following the local market for a very long time, perhaps you have a better view in a longer perspective as well. Is this something that has changed over the years, in 20 years? Do you see the growth of Danish brands when it comes to natural cosmetics brands?
Yes, I think we see more natural Danish brands. We see more Danish brands and more natural Danish brands. If we look 20 years back in time, we didn't have that much Danish brands, but we have a lot of small Danish brands, and that is something that has come these past years. It wasn't like that back in times.
I'm absolutely sure about that. I mean, I've been looking for the industry now, doing the awards, since the past 5 years only, which is short time compared to you. But even within this time, the amount of new brands popping in the market, natural brands, it's quite astonishing.
Yes, and often it comes from a very personal experience from the founder of the new brands. They have had some problems themselves. They couldn't find what they wanted in the market, so they make their own brands. That's a typical story, but also very, very true and very transparent.
Absolutely. And you can see in this kind of brands, at least what I've been witnessing as well, is that you do have these very personal stories, and then the brand can be built to be very niche as well. It's a specific skin problem or specific hair type or whatever it is. So do you think this is also something that could be more the future of the industry, that it goes kind of to smaller niche pieces?
Yeah, yes, I do. There are different kind of consumers, of course, but many consumers want niche products, want something more personal, and maybe something that everybody else doesn't have. So I think niche is here to stay. We see a lot of niche brands that will continue, I think.
Absolutely. Any other predictions for the future, since you have, of course, been following the evolution of the industry? What do you think, where we're going next, or what do you perhaps already see that it's about to start coming up? Or,
well, I think in general there will always be a need for the cosmetic industry. We all need personal care, and the use of cosmetics help people feel better. I can tell that in a whole new survey in Denmark conducted by the trade organization, I just heard that the three most important reasons for using personal care and cosmetics are: 1, quality of life; 2, self-esteem; and 3, to express personality. So we all need that, and the cosmetic industry help us get that. But further thoughts on the future of the beauty industry, I think that AI and AR will play a bigger and bigger role. We always see it very much, but it will be more. I think we will see more personalized products. We will see more products heading for diversity and inclusion. And of course, sustainable products and eco-friendly packaging will continue to be very important. I think for the natural, clean beauty and natural ingredients go hand in hand with high-tech nature protecting beauty production. So we can do a lot of science to help nature, actually, so we don't harm nature too much to get the ingredients. And that this combination will be big, I think.
That is an interesting question about the fact that, of course, maybe more natural way of life and, you know, starting from organic food and everything in across all industries, it has been a trend uprising, you could say. But then in the end, we cannot keep using the natural resources until exhaustion either. So we kind of need to come up with solutions and resolutions for all these issues as well. So, well, there are a lot of questions that come out of this as well, such as until which point will we need cosmetics, perhaps into some things, but will there be certain categories of cosmetics that will disappear eventually, or are there new categories that are coming up and all this? What do you think about this? Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And it's hard to guess about the future. I think maybe the AR and AI will make our use of makeup in another way. We choose our products in another way using these technologies. But maybe we will see new areas of cosmetics. I don't know what it should be, but I cannot see we should not have any of the categories we have now. Some are more important than others for our hygiene and our well-being. I think you talk hair care, fragrance, makeup, skin care. It will always be a need. A new category, not so new now, but a new category in beauty, in the beauty area, is the supplements. I think supplements is a very big and important way to keep our health optimized, and we see more and more new categories in the supplements area. You know, in the old days, it was a daily multivitamin we had, but now we have a very specialized vitamins, collagen, fatty acids, etc. We take every day to keep our health optimized. There we see a lot of new formats. We see powders and pills and drinks and teas and beauty bars. I saw the beauty bars newly. You can eat your supplements in many ways. And there we will continue to see development, I think.
Mm. Yeah, this personalization of all kinds of products comes up in many of your comments. So for sure, also something that I've been seeing, whether it's the actual cosmetic product or supplement or perhaps a diet, depending on where you live, for example, or other things. And of course, if we personalize our cosmetics products, we can also perhaps cut down the amount of them we need because they are made exactly for our skin and our issues at the moment or so. So this way can help in sustainability and all the other things as well. So they all kind of link together.
Yes, we see more and more science in the genome, you know, the genes. When we can categorize our genes and maybe we can predict our future diseases and when we will die and everything, we can use that in the health and healthcare sector, but we can also use it in the beauty sector. Maybe we know one will have sagging skin, another will have many wrinkles, and we don't have to prepare ourselves for the aging with everything if we know what will hit us. So it can be more and more personalized. And as you say, we don't have to use that many products maybe, because for me, it's something I need, and for you, it's another thing you need. So we can, when it gets more obvious to personalize, when we will be able to personalize beauty, we will need less products, I think.
And another trend that I've witnessed lately about the same issue that we can cut down products in a way is also this minimalist routine, perhaps as opposing the Korean routine that has, I don't know, 12 steps or more or less, that it's rather that you can use, let's say, even same product for different purposes, or that you cut down to a very minimalist routine or so. Is this something that you see in Denmark as well?
Yes, of course, there are different kinds of consumers. Some really want the multi-use products. So if I can do 3 steps in one product, that's fine. Others want very specialized products and make a big deal about their routines. So we will have both, I think. But the multi-use products are very popular in Denmark. So maybe it has something to do with age. The older you get, the more steps you think you need to do when you do your routine. And when you're young and when you're in a hurry all the time, you just have to have as few products as possible to get it done quickly.
And get to the next project or whatever it is. Yeah. One interesting subject about, perhaps it can be a question or thought about this, is that I don't know if this is also the case in Denmark or the markets that you follow, but I feel that there are kind of two opposite trends in a way, that there are those consumers that want to get back to basics and do very holistic and cut down the products and not use much anything, and then on the other end we have all the high-tech AI to know really your DNA or whatever it is, to use perhaps more products as well and everything. Very interesting to see, will this match at some point, or they can boost each other, or do you think they might keep growing to different directions?
I think it comes into what we call East meets West, or we see a lot of ancient beauty. The ancient and Asian holistic approach to beauty combined with the Western high-tech knowledge about formulations give the Asian beauty concept. So we have ancient rituals like Ayurveda, healing, herbal remedies, and they're coming to the Western markets now. We see more natural ingredients, you see less stress ingredients, and medical herbs from Asia in formulations in the Western products. And that's ingredients like, you know, one very big ingredient now is mushrooms and ashwagandha root, ginseng, black seed, cumin oil, and so on. And we see that in the Western products. So we have natural and high-tech melting together, and we have the slow, no-stress Ayurvedic lifestyle melting together with the busy Western lifestyle. It doesn't have to be either or. It can be both, I think.
Very interesting topic. One question I would have about the Danish market, in a way that if there is perhaps a brand owner listening that would like to enter Danish market, whether they come from elsewhere in Europe or elsewhere in the world, how do you think they should go about, what can they expect when entering Danish market? What should they take into consideration?
Of course, the regulation must be complied with, but as long as it's an EU country, it should not be a big challenge. My advice would be to find a local distributor who knows the market and the Danish mentality, but any new brands are welcome in the Danish market. And I think the brand must decide whether it goes for a mainstream retailer or a niche distribution. Some consumers prefer niche shopping, as we talked about, and some goes to the nearest convenience shopping and some want luxury shopping, but that depends on the customer and on the brand. So depending on what type of products they have, they should plan how it should be distributed in the market. As I said, the Danish market is dominated by Matas, the Matas chain, and some want to work with Matas and some don't. If you are a new and smaller brand coming to the market, it takes some time to get into Matas, but they often start with new brands and small brands on their web shop, and they have a huge web shop. So that's not bad. So a way to start could be online. But also the department stores are often a good place to start distributing if you can get in there.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, of course, depending on the size of a brand and if you just started or you're already in the market for some time, or and depending of the amounts that are needed for each distributor or retailer, wholesaler. So there are different options for everybody. That's nice to hear. Where can we keep reading your magazine from now on? The website, we can also, like you mentioned, find you through social media and everything. Is that correct?
Thank you for asking. Well, please go to beautynews.dk. Beautynews.dk. If you want to get in contact with me, press contact and use the email address and write to me. Or you can follow me or my company on the social media. It could be on Instagram. My name is Nina H. Kluge, and my company site is beautynews_by_cosmetique. So it's a bit long. On Facebook, my name is Nina Høfler Kluge, and my company site is Fagbladet Cosmetic, and the same on LinkedIn.
Ah, okay, so you are pretty much in all the channels. I will link all the handles below in the show notes, so whoever's interested in reading or contacting you can click directly from there. So it will be the simplest, I'm sure. But thank you so much for joining me today to the podcast and sharing all your insights from Danish cosmetics market.
I thank you. It has been a pleasure, and I was happy to be here.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Sato still here. I got brief, very exciting news for you. We invited Matas, the leading retailer in Denmark, as shared by Nina in the episode, to join the European Natural Beauty Awards Industry Expert Jury. And after the original recording of this episode, we have come to learn that Matas will be joining our 2025 edition of the awards as an Industry Expert Jury member. We, the whole team, are looking very much forward to this next edition. So stay tuned and join the conversation also on our social media channels. Looking forward to having you along. Until next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Natural Beauty Podcast. Make sure you have subscribed or you follow the podcast so you won't miss the coming episodes. If you know someone who would love to know more about the subjects that we discuss in this podcast, make sure to share this episode. Join the conversation on our social media channels as well, on Instagram and LinkedIn at European Natural Beauty Awards. Until the next episode, bye-bye.